and I asked them specifically to sing that song. My sister and I don't even know if I'll get through the story. We have that song on tape, and I still have that cassette tape in my house because I'm one of the few in America that still has a cassette player. And I love that song, From the Cross to the Church and to the World. And I don't know if there's a better way to say it. We've used it for conference themes before, but I've never had the Crotts family actually here to sing it. And so that was a special thing for me. And I appreciate you all singing that. And it doesn't matter that we didn't hear it 30 years ago. That's okay. I've got it on tape. And that sounds awful good. What a great blessing. Take your Bibles tonight and go with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. If you're at all familiar with baseball, there are occasions where they have several players that go out and they cannot play for whatever reason, so they have to call someone up from single A or double A or triple A, and they have them as a spot fill-in. And it's someone that they think may have a potential for being in the professional ranks one day, but they're not quite there yet, but they have a spot that needs to be filled in on the bench. And so tonight and in this conference, you're basically getting a single A ball player. You say, well, why? Well, I've been called up because the other two individuals that we were scheduled to have had a COVID-related issue. And then the other one called and said, Pastor, I'm sorry, but I cannot make it because I have a granddaughter that's going in for major surgery, and I really need to be here for her and for my family at this time. And so I've been praying about it, and I just said, Lord, if you put upon my heart what you'd have me to say during the conference, then I would love the opportunity to preach a missions conference. Now, I've done this overseas through interrupters. And I've preached many missions conferences through interrupters, but not preached a missions conference per se in the U.S., and I certainly haven't faced the daunting task of preaching a missions conference for one of the greatest missionary churches, I believe, in America. But this is a special privilege for me to not only preach on missions, but to do it here at Fairfax Baptist Temple. As a kid growing up here, Dr. Calvert brought in some of the greatest missionary speakers, I believe, that were in the country at the time. And as a kid, I remember hearing Dr. Monroe Parker, who used to be the director of Baptist World Missions. And they called him Monk Parker. And he preached for a number of our conferences. Dr. Sisk and Dr. Johnny Halsey, you might know the name Johnny Halsey. He's kind of the grace-giving or the faith-promise man, so most people would know him. For his investment in worldwide evangelization. And the Sisks would be here each year with us for the conference, and Dr. Sisk would most often preach the conference, and then Dr. Halsey would be here, and he'd do a number of different things. But both of them would join us for conference, and the unique thing with the Halseys is that the Halseys would always stay at our home. And so we always look forward to having Dot and Johnny Halsey stay at our home. And one of the interesting things about Brother Halsey is he knew that we have a paper out for the Washington Post. And so with each passing year, he'd come and they'd stay at our house. He said, boys, what time are you getting up in the morning? We'd say, well, Dr. Halsey, it's the same as last year, 4:45. He said, okay, I'll set my alarm. I'll go out with you. I'm like, Dr. Halsey, you don't have to go out on the paper out with us. It's okay. He said, nope, want to go out on the paper out with you boys. And so my brother and I would get up 4:45, and out there would be Dr. Halsey ready to go out on the paper route. Why did he do it? I have no idea. We wished he would have known the route better. We would have just sent him instead of going ourselves. But I tell you what, those are precious memories from missionaries that came our direction and that we had opportunity to interact with speakers. And just, again, when we reflect on these missionaries that have been a part of our missionary force, for 30-plus years, it challenges my heart each and every time. And it was a blessing yesterday as we received the missionaries in to hear one of the younger missionaries that's headed to the field look to the Crotts family and say, hey, I hope that I'll be at your stage one day. And I hope that I'll be faithful and serve 30-plus years in my country where God has called us. And so I do think it is a challenge for us here at FBT to have a burden for world evangelism and to do more than what's been done thus far. The Lord is going to return any day. But if you'll bear with me, as you know, when I go into these things, and if you've been a part of FBT for any length of time, I can't go in with kind of a hodgepodge of messages. It kind of has to flow and have a track. And so we do have a track. Tonight's message, she'll put the theme up there, is the command for missions. The command for missions. And each and every service will have a different aspect of missions. And I'll preach it with a pastor's heart. But I tell you, God has afforded us the opportunity to be in a myriad of different countries around the world and interact with missionaries, both in conferences and then being on the field personally. And so my wife and I have been stirred for missions throughout our time in ministry, and God has afforded us some wonderful experiences and opportunities. And so I preach as a pastor, but with a great heart for what you folks will be doing around the world. Acts chapter 1 tonight, we want to begin reading in verse number 1. Again, if you are in the habit of taking notes, we want to provide for you each and every night a sheet to be able to take notes, and I pray that this will be a conference that will help you understand the missionary process in a better way. Perhaps you're new to independent fundamental Baptist circles. Perhaps you're new to the cause of world evangelization. Perhaps you're new to FBT. You say, what is this matter of faith promise missions giving? What is the matter of these missionaries that have come into us and that are sent out to go to these different places around the globe? What's the big deal with this situation, and why would they set aside this much time? Well, we begin reading in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1, a familiar passage to those that know Christ. But the Bible says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let's pray and ask the Lord's direction in the message tonight, the command for missions. Lord, would you direct in this service? Would you direct in this conference? Would you do what we cannot do from any kind of earthly perspective? I believe that we can present the truth of Scripture, but I believe with all of my heart that it is the Holy Spirit that directs and challenges each one of our lives. And Lord, certainly there may be those that will be called from this very conference. Certainly there will be those that will be challenged in their prayer walk over the matter of praying for world evangelization. And certainly there will be those that will be challenged over the matter of their wallet and what can be given and what can be accomplished through the finances here at FBT. But Lord, I pray that we'd have a singular focus, that we would see ourselves as we really are before Almighty God, and that if there are areas in this condition of worldwide evangelization that are weak, Lord, would you strengthen us individually, strengthen us as a home and as a family, and Lord, strengthen our church. It was a tough time last year for us not to have the missions conference in person, and while we're indeed grateful for those that spoke and for the presentations that were given from missionaries that were many miles away, Lord, we're grateful to be back in person. And so I pray that you'd use this conference to challenge each and every one of us. Perhaps these are things that we've heard many, many times, but Lord, we desperately stand in need of being challenged yet again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Up until the time of Christ and his disciples, that first called out assembly, that first shepherd and that first flock that was following the Lord Jesus Christ, the primary evangelistic arm of Jehovah was the nation of Israel. If a Gentile wanted to know the truth of Jehovah, they would learn about him through the nation of Israel. We see many examples of this in the Old Testament. We see people like Rahab that came to know Jehovah through the ministry of those spies. We see Ruth, who came to know Jehovah through her mother-in-law. We see Nebuchadnezzar, who came to know Jehovah through the ministry of Daniel and his friends. When we move into the New Testament, we find that Israel rejected Christ in his first coming. There's a new arm of evangelism that was established, and it is the local New Testament church. As Christ was departing after his resurrection, he gave the Great Commission, or the Great Command, on five different occasions. Let me rehearse them with you if I could very quickly. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, the Bible says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke chapter 24, verse 45 and following, the Bible says, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. John chapter 20 and verse number 21, the Bible says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We read the passage here in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. It's kind of the capsule of the other four passages. And we ask ourselves, what do we learn about the Great Commission from the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do we learn about this Great Commission or this Great Command as it's given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and again in Acts? Would you notice number one with me tonight as we look at this Great Commission or this command for missions, would you notice number one that it is based upon the greatest gift? The greatest gift. Now perhaps you would think with me for just a few moments tonight about the greatest gift that you've ever been given. The greatest gift that you've ever been given. Perhaps a spouse would say, oh, it was definitely this piece of jewelry. Oh, what a wonderful gift it was. Oh, it's so much fun when Christmas time rolls around and as a spouse you see smaller and smaller boxes. It's such a joy to know that when they flip that box open, oh, there's something big or small inside, but it's going to be of great value. Perhaps one of you have been blessed with an automobile and a spouse has said to you, here's something for you, surprise. Here's the automobile and here's the bank book to pay for it. You know, I don't know how that gift went over, but you received an automobile. Perhaps a parent gave you the best G.I. Joe that's ever been made, and that's the best gift that you ever received. You see, it had all the accessories. He had the action arms. He was 12 inches tall, not that shortened guy at 4 inches, but it was the best G.I. Joe ever given. You see, we've been given great gifts, but there's never been a gift like the gift given where the Father sent his only begotten Son. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God the Father so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now for those of you that have sons, I don't know about you, but it would be very difficult for me to give up one of my sons for one of you. Well, Pastor, that doesn't sound very spiritual. I'm just telling you the truth. But Almighty God said, while we were enemies, he gave his most beloved Son. He gave his most wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm going to give the Lord Jesus Christ not for a group of my friends, but I'm going to give the Lord Jesus Christ for those that are at this time mine enemies. And Jesus Christ was given that he might come into this world. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. John chapter 20, again, verse number 21, the Bible says, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. If you're taking notes, write this verse down because it's a critical passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. You weren't purchased at the price of these things that will eventually fade away and cease their existence. No, my friend, the Bible says you've been purchased, listen to this, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, God the Father loved you so much that he gave his very best. Well, I tell you what, from a human perspective, it would have been much easier for the Father to say, let's just let all the people earn their way to heaven, and if they make it, they make it. From a human perspective, it would have been much easier for him to say, hey, let's just let them do good works, let's let them get baptized, let's let them fill some religious checklists, and if they make it to heaven, they make it, but there's no way I'm giving up my son. But do you understand tonight that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission? And it took the blood of a spotless lamb to provide salvation for all of mankind. We begin tonight in our understanding of this command for missions by understanding that it is the greatest gift. It is based upon the greatest gift. Would you notice number two with me tonight? Not only is it based upon the greatest gift, but it's based upon the presentation of the entire gospel. The entire gospel. Luke chapter 24, verse number 46, the Bible says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, the Apostle Paul says that he delivered unto them that which he also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's three different aspects to what Christ did in the fulfillment of our salvation. Number one, he died. You know what? There's an awful lot of people that love to leave Christ on the cross. I've traveled into many different nations, and you can go into church after church after church and in all these different settings. And when you walk in, you see Christ on the cross in all different places. And people are still worshiping the Christ of the cross. And my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ did go to the cross. And Hollywood has done its very best to show all that Christ suffered from a physical standpoint while he was there on the cross. But one thing that Hollywood will never be able to present is what it was like in the darkness of those hours when the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, bore your sins and my sins in his own body on the tree. You see, there are those that don't want anything to do with the bleeding sacrifice. They say, we don't want to talk about the cross of Christ and the blood that was shed. We don't want to reference that. No, my friend, again, if there was no shed blood, there would be no redemption. If you're going to come to Jesus Christ, it's not going to be from the fruits of your own hands. It's not going to be because of the vegetables and fruits that Cain made with his own hands, or the works of his own hands, or the baptismal waters. It's going to be because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In truth, you can sum up all religions in two different ways. It's either about what you have to do to get there, or it's about what Christ has already done. And my friend, the Word of God details for us that there's only one way, and that one way is through the shed blood of Jesus himself. It's the presentation of the entire gospel, number two. Number one, it's based upon the greatest gift. Would you notice number three with me? As we consider the teaching of the Great Commission from the Lord Jesus Christ, number three, it should be our common goal. It should be our common goal. Well, let's discuss that for just a few moments, if we could. Every August, Mr. Bradford assembles a group of young men from 7th through 12th grade out here on the soccer field. And they spend a lot of time running in those early days. And they meet early in the day because it is getting hot, and the month of August can be pretty tough here in the state of Virginia with humidity. And so Mr. Bradford begins the process of teaching them endurance and being able to run. And then he begins to assemble them into an offense and a defense. And then he throws in this round ball, a football. Amen? All right. I got it from some of you. All right. A soccer ball. He throws the soccer ball in, and he says, hey, guys, I've set up 8 different nets. Kick it into whichever one you want, and you'll be doing well. Is that what he does? No, that's not what he does. He says, okay, you boys are playing defense. You boys are playing offense. You see that goal? I want the ball in the back of the net. And they've got a common theme. The defense is going to pass the ball up to the offense. The offense is going to work their way down the field. The offense is going to sift their way through the defense on the opposing team. They're going to do their very best to make that last second pass because the goalie just knows the ball's coming from here. And lo and behold, the ball comes from over here because of the last second pass. They've got a common goal. We're going to score. Oh my, I love to watch the World Cup. Do you remember in 2010 when the World Cup was in South Africa and they had the Vuvuzelas? Oh man, wasn't that mind-numbing? I mean, I tried to watch it. I'm like, I want to see this. I want to see this. Well, if you think that was bad, in a few weeks we've got the cicadas coming. You're going to wish that it was just a bunch of Vuvuzelas here. In the Northern Virginia area. But I tell you what, you watch the World Cup. I love to watch the World Cup. And when the U.S. finally bows out of it after the first round, and I select my other team, whoever I'm going to root for most often, Brazil, man, they've got a common goal. Oh, if they're playing this nation or that nation, our goal is to get this ball behind that goalie and into the net to score. And man, isn't it exciting when they score? Oh, now there's some of you people that are like this. You're arrogant and you're stuffy about it. I don't like sports where there's only 1 point for every goal. I want to see a lot of scoring. Oh man, when you watch these teams and you watch them maneuver and you watch them back and forth and use their strategy and then their skill, and then all of a sudden one of them score and they go running down the sideline, ripping their shirt off, sliding 55 feet, and the stands are going nuts. Man, I'm telling you what, that's the time where the Vuvuzelas don't sound so bad. Why? Because we accomplished our goal. This is what we've worked for. This is what we've trained for. This is what we've given up everything else for. And I'm here to tell you tonight that that's exactly what God has given to the local church. And it ought to be our common goal. As that soccer team goes up on the field and Mr. Bradford says, hey, we want to score more than they score. We want to put the ball in the net more than they put it in the net. They've got a common goal. Now, what kind of a soccer team would it be if the defense was working against the offense? Hey, my goalie's not looking. Poop. Yes! I scored! What are you doing? You scored on our goal! They wouldn't have the same desires. Well, I tell you what, that's happening in local church after local church after local church. They've got all these different desires and all these different ideas on what should be accomplished when God gave us the command and said, I want every single believer to have the same common goal, and that's reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, verse number 19, the Bible says, go ye, therefore. Mark 16, verse number 15, go ye. It should be our common goal. This means that all of us are to be praying. Now, I know that we have a select group of folks that are praying specifically for a section of missionaries, and the alphabetization of the missionaries has been given out, so they receive the prayer letters and they receive the emails, and so you're praying for a section of our missionary force. But you know, all of us should be praying for the missionary effort. It's been my understanding that the better that I know the missionaries, the better I pray for them. If you don't get a prayer card this week, you're probably not going to pray for the missionaries. If you're not here to hear the presentations of these different nations, you're probably not going to be praying for them. But in truth, it ought to be that all of us are praying. In truth, it ought to be that all of us are giving. You see, it's not just a select group that should be giving towards missions and carrying the weight and carrying the load. It ought to be that all of us are giving to the missionary effort. And boy, here's one that we don't hear that often, but in truth, all of us should be going. Wait a minute, Pastor. Now, you're wrong there. I've been in many conferences, and I've always heard all of us are praying and all of us are giving and some of us will even go. My friend, can I just tell you that the Bible says, go ye therefore, and it's not making a delineation between the man in the pulpit and the person in the pew. It says, go ye therefore. So I have as much responsibility to go around the corner as that one that's been called to go around the world. How in the world can I put $5 in the offering plate and meet the demand of world evangelization and think that I've done my part if I'm not willing to go around the corner? If I'm not willing to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with those people that I come into contact with? No, I think if we really understood that this is a common goal, we'd all be praying. We'd all be giving. And we'd all actually be going. Well, I can't make it at this time or that time. Well, God has called us to be full-time witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, not secret saints. And I can certainly do that with everything that is within my power, because it should be our common goal. Number one tonight, as we consider the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand from this passage that it is the great, it's based upon the greatest gift. Number two, it is the presentation of the entire gospel. We don't leave any of it out. We believe in His death, burial, and resurrection. It should be our common goal. For us to support missions around the world and to do nothing around the corner is to pay blood money to the missionary effort. I'm paying someone else to do what I'm not willing to do myself. Can I say it to you this way, FBT? If we do not do more here, we cannot do more around the world. Should be our common goal. Number four, it's a message for the entire globe. Oh, boy, I could park here for a long time. I'm so glad that we're taking a gospel that can go, as the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, to all nations. I'm so glad that the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, to every creature. I'm glad that the Bible says in Luke 24 that the Word of God is to go to all nations. I'm glad that the Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse number 2 that He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I'm so glad that I don't leave any of Central America out. I'm so glad that I don't leave any of South America out. I'm so glad that we don't leave any of Africa out, or any of Asia out. I'm so glad that the gospel goes into the deepest reaches of the jungles of the nations of this world, and yet it even goes into the concrete jungles of the world. I'm so glad that it will go from Cambodia to Thailand and into South Pacific and into the islands in the farthest reaches of the Philippines, and to everyone I can say, Jesus died for you and you can be saved. Isn't it great that we don't have to say to any of the missionaries that call here, I'm sorry, we're not taking any missionaries onto that country because Christ can't save those people from their sins. Well, I tell you what, I love to learn about the different cultures. Love to hear the different spoken languages. Love to hear the singing in all these different languages. Love to hear of the things that are unique to places. I was watching one of the Discovery or Food Channel type shows this past week, and I've got to tell you, I was absolutely disgusted by it. I won't say where he was, but he was one of these guys that goes into all the reaches of the world, and he will eat anything. And I won't say where it was, because it's a wonderful country, and they have so many different things to offer, and I don't want to disgust you, but I've got to tell you, perhaps you'll know the country when I describe the food. He was experimenting with this fish that they put into barrels and bury for 5 years. And then they bring it out and then they shave that fish, and you can buy one of those fish for $50. And so the waiter brought it out to them. It's a delicacy. The waiter brought it out to them, set it in front of them, and he said, well, I can't wait to try this. This fish has been coming to this point for better than 5 years. Takes his fork, puts it into it, puts it in his mouth. He says, I got to tell you, that's about the worst thing I've ever had in my life. And it was really funny, because he had a national sitting next to him. Now, the national had never tried this because it was such a delicacy and it was only for the upper echelon of individuals. And so the national had never tried it, so the national is trying it with this guy. The national puts it in his mouth and he's like, wasted my $50. Even the national was like, better stop at 7-Eleven on the way home. Man, I love the varieties of cultures and people groups. I tell you what, even more than that, I love that I can go to every single one of them and say, Christ died for your sins. And it doesn't matter if it's a village where they've taken three pieces of wood and tapped it together to make a pew, or if it's in the most posh in the location in a big city around this globe. Christ died for this world, and every single one of these missionaries can go everywhere in their country and say, Jesus loves you. You see, this ought to be our common goal. Every single person, FBT, should have a burden for reaching the world for Jesus Christ. It's not as though you come in and say, well, Pastor, I'm glad for your burden. No, your burden should be my burden. My burden should be your burden. There should be no difference between the one that's standing in the pulpit and the one that's sitting in the pew. We should be burdened to reach the world. Why? Because Christ died for everyone. And this story is spread to the greatest of the globe. Let me give you one more tonight. Based upon the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and this great command, as we walk through this passage, we understand it's based upon the greatest gift. It's the presentation of the entire gospel. It should be our common goal. It is a message for the entire globe. And then number 5, it is the biblical path for the greatest level of growth. The command of the Lord Jesus Christ to go into all the world, my friend, it has never changed. You see, this is not an organization. This is an organism. And Christ has commanded us to take the gospel around the globe, to evangelize the lost, to baptize converts, to edify those that have trusted Christ, or to make disciples of them, and then as a result, to establish local New Testament churches. From the cross, through the church, and to the world. This is the path of biblical growth. Now, my friends, so many of you have been around this globe, and you've been in nation after nation, and you've seen the same things. But it's amazing to me, you can go into the most remote of areas, One of the first things that I like to do when I arrive in a location, if I'm staying in some kind of a town setting or some kind of a village setting, one of the first things I like to do is just kind of get my bearings on the local, and this is what I'm going to call it, this is what I refer to it as, the local hacienda. Probably not even good Spanish or English. I don't know. But it's the local store where I'm going to be able to purchase some things. And so we'll look for that, we'll try to find it, we'll see a sign out there, but I'm telling you, even in their most remote places around this globe, you know what I see? A Coca-Cola sign. As soon as I see the Coca-Cola sign, I'm in good shape. No problem. Now, I'm not in good shape because of the Coca-Cola, but I'm in good shape because they have Coca-Cola. I do have to tell you this one story. Driving out of São Paulo, in the airport in São Paulo, up to São Carlos, we stopped at this little gas station, and my friends, I was driving, you can imagine that, I drove in São Paulo. I had three other guys in the car with me. We stopped at this little five and dime store, and we were thirsty, and so one of the guys in the car said, you know what, I'm going to buy the Sprite, and I'm going to get that Sprite, and it's going to quench my thirst. Now listen, folks, if there's only one Sprite in the refrigerator, don't buy it. Okay? That's just a rule of thumb. But he got it. He's sitting in the seat next to me. We're driving to San Carlos. And he pops that cap on that can of Sprite. And the first sign that there was a problem should have been right then when there was no The young man named Michael, another young man named Matt, and another young man named Dan, and me in the driver's seat, he takes that Sprite outside of São Paulo on our way to San Carlos. I'm going to quench my thirst. Bah! That's terrible! You got to try this. Every single one of us in the car tried it. It's pre-COVID. It tasted like you had gone to a dumpster and taken a clean rag and just swashed it around the bottom of the dumpster and then wrung it out into a can and put some carbonation on it. It was horrible. Worst Sprite I've ever had in my life. But you know what? Coca-Cola's gotten their name around the globe, haven't they? I was exhausted from a day of hiking in Vanuatu. We finally came to the location where we were going to spend the night. We were going to have services that night. And I laid my backpack down on the side of a hill in a remote, remote section of an island in Vanuatu. And I laid my backpack down in just such a way that it would work as a great pillow. And man, I'm telling you what, I was so exhausted. I fell totally asleep. I didn't know what was going on in the world. If there were cannibals in that area, they could have eaten me, and I'd have been in heaven and not known what had gone on. My two friends, the missionary, and then my other friend that had come with me, we were all sound asleep. The breeze was just gently blowing over us from a long day of working our way back to this village and then thinking about the preparation for the service that night. And all of a sudden, you know how this is. When you're in that kind of deep sleep and then you wake up out of it, and I was like, where am I? Who am I? I look over to my right and there's my friend Shane. I see the missionary right there. Oh, okay, all right, we're okay. I look to my left. Will you bear with me for just a second? There's a national from Vanuatu. Just staring at us, quiet as he can be. Now in Vanuatu, they wear ties. Not ties like this. Their ties are down like this. And that's all they wear. So he's got a tie on. I was sound asleep, You know how good that feels when the drool's been coming out of your mouth? Soaked your pillow, that kind of sleep, that's what I'm talking about. Man, it felt so good. And I look over to my left. Thank the Lord he didn't have a fork and knife in his hands. But he's leaned over with his tie. Just staring. Shay, would you wake up the missionary? He taps over there. He wakes up. Here it's one of the chiefs from one of the villages. The chief stands up. He greets us. No idea what he's saying. Greets the missionary, dear friend of ours. And here's this guy from Vanuatu. Very little to his name. He's got a tie on, covering front and back, and a cell phone on his hip. Say what? A cell phone? How does this guy have a cell phone? Well, you know what? The cell phone industry is very concerned about getting their product to the entire world. That guy didn't have a wallet. He certainly didn't have a pocket knife. He didn't have anything else. But boy, he had a cell phone. You know, I can go a lot of places in this world and be A-okay if I've got a cell phone and a Coke. And you know what? Both those different product companies know that full well. I'll find that little store and I'll buy my Coke and I'll make it A-okay. I'll buy those minutes for my cell phone and I'll be able to have conversation as long as it's not in Northern Virginia. Be able to talk to anybody around the world from my cell phone. Why is it that way? It's because they believed that they had a product that the entire world needed to have access to. You see, God didn't design it for us to just buy airplanes and to fly over nations and to drop leaflets and to say, hey, that's a job well done. No, he said, go ye. That's all praying, all giving, and all going to every nation because he loved the world. And he said, I want you to go person by person by person. And oh, it won't be the crowds that trust Jesus Christ. We'll get to that later on in the week. But for everyone that does get saved, by God's grace they get baptized and they form a local New Testament church and the missionaries come back and say, praise God. This is a city that now has the gospel. You want to change a city? You want to change a county? You want to change a country? You want to change a continent? It's never going to happen because we provide all kinds of outlets to give people Coca-Cola. But it will happen with a home church who says we're willing to send and we're willing to support that these might go down and carry the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. This, my friend, is the path of biblical growth. If you're taking notes tonight, would you write down one more passage and I'm done. This is beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, the Bible says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Isn't that something that God says, let's roll up our sleeves and reach the world for Jesus Christ? And that God says to us, you're laborers with me? Well, I tell you what, it's awful lonely to be out in the workforce all by yourself. But it sure is exciting when you start to see someone come alongside of you shoulder to shoulder and to join the work together. The command for missions, it is quite clear. It is based upon the greatest gift. It is the presentation of the entire gospel, His death, burial, and resurrection. It should be our common goal. Would you say with me tonight that this is your ultimate goal, to see the world evangelized for Christ? It is a message for the entire globe. And number five, it is the biblical path for the greatest level of growth. We often call it the Great Commission. But I believe that you would agree with me tonight in saying that it should be the greatest commission. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this opening night and for the opportunity to once again consider the command for missions. Oh, we have so much to consider as you've given it to us over and over again. It'd be one thing if we turned in the scriptures and we found some verse that said we had a responsibility to reach the world, but you repeat it in each of the Gospels, and then it's encapsulated there in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. We have the responsibility to be reaching Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth, not individually or not to the efforts of or exclusion of the others, but we're to be doing this all at the very same time. And boy, praise God, we can send missionaries to Indonesia and they can carry the gospel and go to that Indonesian individual and say, Jesus died for you. Praise the Lord that the gospel can be taken to Uganda and that the missionary can say to each of those Ugandans, Jesus died for you. And then we can go through each one of these nations and say the same thing. I pray that here at FBT, that you would generate within all of us this common goal. We want to strike a dagger into the darkness of the satanic world, that more individuals would come to Christ, that more local churches would be planted. If all of these secular products can go throughout the globe, I know that we can take the gospel and we can reach unto the uttermost part of the world. Lord, in our invitation tonight, would you just work from this aspect? May we see it first of all as a command. This is not an option. This is a command for every believer. From the youngest in our midst to the oldest, we have this responsibility. And Lord, we pray that you'd help the missionaries to be encouraged this week. Oh, I'm sure that there are many ways that we would think it'd be a better path for evangelizing the world, but God has already given us the roadmap. Help us to be faithful to that roadmap. We thank you for the missionaries that you brought our direction. May we be an encouragement to them. Lord, we look forward to that day where we're gathered home to heaven and we meet individuals that came to Christ as a result of our faithfulness to this great command. In Jesus' name I pray.